Good morning, church family and friends. Certainly missed. And we thank you for tuning in and listening to our services. As far as we know at this point, we will be off April 5th, Palm Sunday. The following Sunday, Easter, April 12th, is still in limbo. We'll have to cross that bridge when we get there. In the meantime, listen to the radio or check out the website, the Facebook page, or even call the church office in regards to Easter and beyond. I want to thank Candy and Mike and Hank today for being with us and putting this service together. If we're not able to meet on Easter, then here's what we're going to do. When we are able to come back as a family and as a church, whatever that first Sunday is that we're back, that we're going to celebrate Easter at that time. My scripture reading this morning will be Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 44, and my sermon title will be Perfect Peace. Candace?
Good morning, everyone. It is good to be with you. Even if it is remotely, we are still together, and we gather this morning in Jesus' name to worship and praise our Creator and Sustainer, our awesome God, who has given us the gift of this new day. You know, we understand that as Christians, we are not exempt from pain and suffering, from worry, fear. We aren't even exempt from death. But we also know as Christians that our joy does not come from our circumstances. Amen? The source of our joy is in knowing who holds our future. That even though the very ground that we walk on may sometimes seem like sinking sand, that we can claim an unshakable joy through our faith in Jesus Christ. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." In saying that, we do have many in our church fellowship who live alone, who may not have a family in the area, and they may not even have access to connecting with their church family through these remote services. Many of them are currently inundated with troubles in this world because they sit and listen to the news each day, and it's a troubling situation. And they just need to reclaim their joy. So this morning, church, I'm asking all of you who have been blessed with gifts, gifts of comfort, gifts of being an encourager, a great conversationalist, those that have card ministries, and even those that have the gift of just a good sense of humor, reach out to them. It may not even be people in our church family. It might be neighbors or friends in your neighborhood, but reach out to them. Call them up. Send a card. However you can best connect with them. But use those gifts to rekindle their joy. Psalm 94:18 says, "When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy." Church, be the Lord's consolation this week. It will not only make a difference in their lives, but I can guarantee you it will bring you joy as well. In a moment, I'm going to pray. And wherever you are this morning or whenever you listen to this service broadcast, I am going to invite you that after this prayer that you would join with me in saying the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we lift up those who are not only physically isolated this day, but they're also spiritually isolated because of the troubles that they have seen in this world. We believe in the truth of your word, Lord, and find comfort in knowing that our circumstances cannot destroy the joy that we find in you. Our faith overcomes our fears, our blessings outweigh our burdens, when we put our trust in your Son, Jesus. Be with us today, Lord, as we worship and give you praise for that unspeakable joy. Help us to take our eyes off this world, even if it's just for a short period of time, Lord, and let us focus them on the cross, that during this Lenten season, the sacrifice of your Son for the redemption of our sins would be ever on our minds. As we join in prayer, as Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Every day they pass me by, and I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries, only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. We are called to take His light to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through His love, our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life. Only we can share. People need the open door.
being able to come into his house of worship, and hopefully folks that don't know the Lord in these circumstances, that they come to realize just how much they need the Lord as well. Columbus News was interviewing a Lutheran pastor, and he was talking about how he preached a recorded service in an empty sanctuary to be posted on the website for people to listen to. And the news reporters asked, "How did it feel?" And that Lutheran pastor said, "It was very awkward, very strange." It is very awkward singing, praying, preaching to an empty room like this. Last week, Amy and Candy and I, all three of us, we were talking about how nervous we were and how awkward it was and so forth. And you could probably tell on the service itself. And hopefully today it will be a little bit less awkward, but at the same time, hopefully we won't get used to this. That before too long we will be able to get back together and in God's house and worshiping together. Candy and I miss you all so much. We miss each other, don't we? And we can't wait till when we gather back again in God's house and worship. One day this will be over. But in the meantime, let's remember these three things. First of all, we need to be patient. God did not cause this virus. And I'm already hearing, and you probably are as well. You're probably hearing things like, "This virus is from God, and it's his punishment and judgment call on the world," and so forth. In fact, that's usually the response of even people like Christians. It must have been God's plan, or it must have been God's will, which is so wrong. I mean, think about that. Every disappointment, every tragedy or loss or painful experience that we encounter is God's plan or God's will. Nothing could be further from the truth. God did not cause this virus. And please don't preach something like that to others, because that's not true. He didn't cause it. But he can put an end to it, and he will. Through the gifts that he has given to doctors and nurses and scientists, a cure will come. A vaccine will be created. We just need to be patient until that time comes. Psalm 37 is an excellent psalm when it talks about being patient and waiting on God. Psalm 37, listen to some of those verses from that psalm. Verse 7, it says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him." Verse 10, "A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found." Verse 20, "The Lord's enemies will be like the beauty of the field. They will vanish like smoke." Verse 34, "Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land, and the wicked are cut off, and you will see it." This will come to an end, but in the meantime, we must be patient and wait on the Lord. The second thing we must do is persevere. The Bible tells us that when we persevere through difficult times, we grow in our faith. And when we grow in our faith, we grow in our character. And when we grow in our character, then God will produce within us something that we cannot live without, and that is hope. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given. You know, over my years as a pastor, I have been with several people and several families who have endured so much, one tragedy after another, one disaster after another, and in a short period of time. And for many of those folks, I admired their ability to persevere through those difficult times. You could see their trust in God. And you could see their hope in the Lord. And that hope carry them through. Never once complaining. Never once asking, why me? It's like that old song, through it all. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. And finally, we need to remember to pray. There is so much to pray for and so many people to pray for as well. Prayer is one of the mysteries of our faith. The Bible teaches us that prayer involves a dialogue between God and His people. Isn't that something? It's a two-way conversation. We speak to God from our hearts, and God speaks to us in our hearts. What a mystery. What a miracle. What a gift. And I don't know all that there is to know about prayer, and actually no one does. But I do know this. That we can't even think about approaching God in prayer without Jesus. He makes prayer possible. He is our intercessor, our go-between. In Romans chapter 8, verse 34, it tells us that He, Jesus, is sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for us. What a mystery. And what a miracle and what a gift. I can remember in my early years of my faith journey, I used to think that I could not pray to God. I had to first get my act together before I would even be allowed to approach Him. God won't hear me, not in my condition. But the fact is, God hears and receives us no matter what our condition is, thanks to Jesus Christ. We don't have to be perfect before we can pray. And the reason is because of grace. We are saved by grace. We live by grace. We pray by grace. God's heart is always open. He knows us personally. He hears us as individuals. And He cares deeply regarding the things that we are trying to be a patient about and to persevere through. I want you to remember that. His heart is always open. And He is ready to receive you and your prayers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this opportunity once again to gather in Your name and to hear Your word and to meditate and think about and absorb Your word as well. Although the circumstances are different, Your word is still as powerful and true today as it was back then. And we pray that You would open our ears and our hearts to what You would have us hear and bless us as well as we listen. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Over the past four Sundays, we've been in Jerusalem with Jesus and His disciples, and I'm going to bring this series to an end today. It's the last week of Jesus' life, and there have been numerous attempts to arrest Him and kill Him. The religious leaders would ask Jesus certain questions that were designed around trying to trap Him with His answer, but Jesus didn't fall for it. Now, every attempt that they made, Jesus never fell for it. Eventually, the question stopped, and the religious leaders stopped asking all these trick questions, but they didn't give up on trying to arrest Him and kill Him. And they met and they discussed about what other ways can we do? What other things could we do to arrest Him? And in Luke chapter 22, verse 3 and 4, it says, "And then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. And Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. Now, it's important to note here, Judas approached them and they didn't approach Judas. Judas is led by his own evil desires, his greedy appetite, and his need to betray Jesus for whatever reason. And in Luke chapter 22, verse 5 and 6, it says, they were delighted and agreed to give him money. And he consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present. And it's important to note here as well what Judas is agreeing to. He's not just simply saying, let me see what I can do. Maybe I can help you out. Judas is entering into a verbal contract with these religious leaders. And the terms of that contract is this: if you give me a sum of money, then I will hand him over to you, guaranteed. It was an agreement that Judas would later regret. He even tried to give the money back at a later time, but the religious leaders refused it. How vulnerable life is. Think about that. One bad decision could ruin the rest of your life. God has given us all the gift of reason, and that is the ability to discern and make right decisions and to consider the repercussions of each decision that we make. And is it me, or does it seem like the ability to reason has been thrown to the wayside? People make choices in life without even considering the cost or the commitment or the consequences, but only to regret them later. My parents raised me and my siblings with think before you act. Remember that there's consequences to your decisions, so think before you act. Over the past four Sundays, we also learned how Jesus would teach at the temple during the day, and in the evening hours, he would go out to the Mount of Olives and spend the night. And then the next day, he would come into the temple and teach and preach again. Luke chapter 21, 37 and 38 says, he spent his days in the temple teaching, but his nights out on the mountain called Olives. All the people were up at the crack of dawn to come to the temple and listen. On one of those mornings that Jesus made his way into the city, he stopped along the way and he looked out over from the hillside and he had this incredible sight. The entire city was in view. And Jesus stopped and looked at it. In our scripture reading, Luke chapter 19, verse 41 through 44 says, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only recognized on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and then hem you in on every side. And they will dash you to the ground and your children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. It's not for sure what day of the week this is that Jesus comes into the city, because Luke doesn't always write in chronological order. Sometimes he kind of mixes it up. And this could be Thursday, which would have been Jesus' last trip into the city. My focus this morning will be on verse 42, when he said, had you, only you, recognized on this day what would bring you peace. And I want to talk about two Greek words here in this verse that are important. And the first one is the Greek word ginosko, which is translated recognized. This is a common word used throughout the New Testament to define the revelation made to us by God. But it's not a sudden revelation like Saul when he was on the road to Damascus and all of a sudden Jesus appeared to him. This is a revelation or a recognition that happens over a period of time. One opportunity after another. With the numerous trips that Jesus made into Jerusalem and the amount of time that he spent there, these were opportunities for the people to slowly recognize who he was and over time get to know him. Many of us can relate to this. For many of us, our faith in Christ did not come from a sudden blow, but rather over a period of time, we've come to know him more and more and still coming to know him. If you've ever brought home a new puppy, you can appreciate the definition of this word. Because it takes time for that puppy to get familiar with its surroundings and its new owners. Shortly after Candy and I got married, we went out and bought a new St. Bernard puppy. And when we got her home, she would run and hide behind the couch. But over the period of time, she would come out and gradually and slowly get to know us, and we would get to know her. And before long, and 170 pounds later, she knew us completely, and we knew her. That's what Jesus is saying here to the city of Jerusalem. I have been patient with you. I have been open and honest with you. I have been to your city on numerous occasions, and with each of those visits, it was your opportunity to learn more and more about me and discover for yourself who I am and why I came. But now, Jesus says, but now, it's too late. And this is why Jesus wept for the city. Because it was too late for them to recognize him. Time was running out. 40 years later, the entire city would be leveled to the ground by the Roman army. You know, in our lifetime, we only get so many opportunities to know Jesus. And as we get older, those opportunities are fewer and fewer. And before long, it's too late. And that's when we hear Jesus saying, if you, even you, had only recognized what would bring you peace. But now it's hidden from your eyes. My friends, don't let time run out on you. Make that commitment now. Make that commitment now to know Jesus more and more, starting now. The other Greek word I want to talk about here is the Greek word eirene. It's the word for peace. And when we think about peace, we think about things like no conflict, free of anxiety and worry, having no fear whatsoever, being quiet and still, a sense of security and order in our lives, harmony and oneness in all our relationships. Peace has a multitude of meanings. I want you to imagine taking all those meanings that I said and then some, all those meanings and combining them together into one. Because that's what this Greek word means. And the Bible refers to it as perfect peace. And it's the kind of peace that only Jesus can bring. And it's the kind of peace that our world needs today. Stuck at home is not fun. Those of you who know me, I am going stir crazy. I can't set quiet for 3 minutes, let alone 15 days. And Candy and I are stuck for 15 days in a 1,200 square foot home. And it will be amazing if we make it through. Watching the news is a little nerve-wracking as well, isn't it? The coronavirus and 70,000 plus inflicted and 1,200 deaths and coronavirus and long lines for testing and grocery store shelves empty and lack of hospital equipment and protective gear. It can get nerve-wracking. It can be overwhelming and somewhat even fearful. But not for people of faith. Tuesday, Candy and I telephoned most of our shut-ins just to see how they were doing and if they were needing anything. And we were calling to offer some words of comfort and words of encouragement. And I got to tell you something, none of them were shook up at all. They were calm and collective and stable. They were patient and they were persevering through all of this. And Candy and I, each time we hung up with every one of them, we kept thinking about, well, their experiences that they had in life, that's how they're able to get through these things. They've experienced these things before. You know what? That's only part of it. They were calm, collective, and stable because of their faith in Christ. He brought them through difficult times before, and they know that He will do it again. In fact, they ended up comforting and encouraging Candy and I. We're in some difficult times right now. And it's far from being over. But difficult times can be opportunities as well. Opportunities to know Jesus more. And to lean on Him in our faith. And opportunities as well to experience even more His perfect peace. When you feel overwhelmed by what's happening in our world, and if fear and doubt start to set in, I want you to remember these two things. And first of all, God is in control. He always has been, He always will be. And one day He will put an end to all this. We just need to be patient and persevere and keep praying. But the second thing is to remember is this. God's perfect peace. With God's perfect peace, we can overcome our most difficult times. With God's perfect peace in our life, we can endure, just like our shut-ins and other people of faith, we can endure the most difficult times. I want to leave you with some of Jesus' last words that He spoke in the upper room with His disciples. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Amen.